Welcome back to WBFO's special program, The Education Experience. In our final segment, we bring you a compelling cafeteria chats with Starpoint Central High School students who describe for us what it was like to lose a classmate this past school year.
A noisy school cafeteria may seem to be an insensitive place to discuss a student's death, but it is where we found students to speak comfortably about teenage life. Earlier this year, a Starpoint High School student died. We're not here to give details surrounding his death, but instead, we want you to hear how some students are coping with such a difficult issue.
Like every morning, he was kind of like the first face that kind of registered in my mind. So I was still looking for him and just do it subconsciously.
Elizabeth Morris is completing her junior year. She reflected on what it was like to come back to school when a classmate she shared a locker area with suddenly died.
I didn't know him too personally, but he was he's my locker neighbor, so I saw him multiple times a day, and it's definitely hard. It is definitely a hard thing for everybody, and he is missed. We still talk about him and remember him and everything.
What is it like for you, though, when you're in your locker area, especially right after it happened? Did you kind of constantly have that feeling, that heavy feeling?
Yeah, mostly I saw him every single morning and every afternoon at the end of the day. And so when I came to school, I'd always be looking to see if he was there or not. And at the end of the day, definitely looking over my shoulder to see if he was coming, even though in my head I knew that he wasn't coming.
Did you have any difficulty? Did you ask for counseling, or didn't it affect you that way?
No, I didn't ask for counseling. I didn't think I needed it. It didn't affect me as strongly because I didn't know him on a personal level.
How heavy was that mood here at the school, though, just in general, whether you knew him or not?
Oh, it was very heavy. People that didn't know him or didn't have classes were crying in the hallways, and they were sad. It definitely affected every single person, whether you knew him or not. It was a hard thing for everybody.
I actually knew him. He was my gym partner for the first half of the year.
Devin Ike is also a junior. He had very close contact with a student who died.
So that was extremely surreal, finding out that and then having to go into gym and look at his locker and not there, look in class and not seeing him there. So it definitely hit me pretty hard.
Did you ask for any counseling or?
My mom's actually a school psychologist, so I just talked to her a lot, so that was pretty helpful.
Can you share at all what she told you or what you asked, or is that too personal?
It's not too personal. I don't really remember it because that was a lot of emotions going on, but it was definitely just talking through like what happened, why he did it, and stuff like that. I mean, it still hasn't fully impacted, but it's so surreal.
What was it like during that day and those moments after?
Well, there was a rumor going around, and I'm like, it's not him. I was talking to him yesterday. We were laughing about something in class. And then email got sent around, and I asked a teacher I'm pretty close with, and he's like, yeah. And I'm like, out-of-body experience. I'm like, whoa, that's... And then the rest of the day, just, I don't even remember. It was just crazy.
Colorful construction paper hearts line a wall in the high school. Starpoint students wrote special messages on those hearts to honor their classmate. Words like stay strong, kindness, you are loved, strength, friends, and you can lean on me.
Everyone like put hearts on his locker that they made out and cut out for him.
Daniel Mojica is completing his junior year. Although he didn't know the student personally, he did share a class with him.
I mean, he sat behind me in history. Like, I knew him, but just not very close, but it was sad. It was interesting how people just kind of understood what was going on, and we had the pep rally that day, and there wasn't a lot of people there at the pep rally.
It was very difficult. I knew Jake since I was 6, and actually I wear this purple bracelet on my wrist to remember him.
Alex Ehrenberg, a junior, was one of the 7 Starpoint students we spoke with who was a friend with the student who died.
I have a lot of great memories with Jake. He was in Model UN with me. My first ever debate I went to, the first conference I went to, he was with me. We were in Lithuania, and it was a blast. I had the best time, so it was very sad.
How has his death changed you as a student?
It has made me a lot more grateful for my friends, for sure. I mean, I would not be where I am without them, and I just take a lot less stuff for granted now, because before I always, I, I realize how precious life really is now that I've lost a classmate, you know. I'll be, like, doing something, and it'll pop into my head, and it'll kind of hit me from time to time, like, wow, he's really gone. And it just does that in cycles, and it's very trying.
Aaron Berg described a sense of frustration because he felt a much deeper loss than students who were just acquaintances.
I was upset, really, because I felt as if it was just sort of like all this in memoriam stuff that would just kind of stay for like a week and then it would pass and everyone would forget him. And actually, that's why I started wearing the bracelet, so that I would never forget him. But honestly, I feel like it's sort of stuck with us for the whole year, because still occasionally someone will bring it up and they'll talk about it. I like to know that people still think about it.
In the Frontier Central School District, we handed over our digital equipment to some high school students who produced another student journal. Deja Jenkins speaks with classmate Maria Lake about high school relationships.
Hi, this is Deja Jenkins from Frontier High School, and I'm speaking to Maria Lake. We're going to be talking about high school relationships. Have you ever been in an abusive relationship?
Well, I wouldn't say like physically, but I would say mentally.
Can you explain your relationship?
Well, I've known him for a long time, so I really didn't think anything of it. So I thought our relationship was pretty close. Like, I've known him for 5.5 years, and that's pretty much a long time.
How was it mentally abusive?
I don't know. He always, like, guilt-tripped, you know, like, made you feel guilty about, like, things you shouldn't be feeling guilty about. Always putting me down.
Can you describe some of the things you've experienced in your relationship?
We got into, like, dumb fights, like, on my Facebook account, if some guys would comment, like, oh, you're so pretty, or I love your smile, stuff like that, he would get, like, super jealous and would start a little fight because, like, he would be able to tell other girls they're cute and stuff, and, like, that's okay to him, but it's not okay when other people call me attractive or something.
Would you describe high school relationships as childish?
Not all of them. Like, I guess it depends. Like, if it's just one of those relationships where you just, like, see them in school, that's kind of childish, in my opinion, but, like, if you actually do things, go out and go places, like, I guess that's a little mature, but it's not like you're gonna marry them, you know?
Have you ever been friends with someone who's in a physically abusive relationship?
No.
Why did you and said boyfriend break up?
Well, like, I ended up getting pregnant. I guess it was just apparently a lot to handle or something. I don't know, like, same old thing. You get pregnant, the guy leaves, like they do in the movies. That's like how it happened. And I asked him if he just, like, stopped loving me, and he said, yeah. So he just stopped loving me, I guess.
How did this experience affect your everyday life?
I guess the first, like, week after it happened, I was devastated, and I was crying every day and stuff. But, like, as the weeks went by, I was just getting over it because, like, I don't know. I guess I was happy. People were saying I was more out there when I wasn't with him, and, like, I was just happier with myself. I was doing good in school, doing good at work. I got a job and everything, and my life was just getting better.
Joining me is our education assistant and producer, Johnny Moran. And Johnny worked to establish schools that participated in both our cafeteria chats and student journals. And we've had some interesting observations in working with the students. What did you see in all of this, Johnny?
One thing that I found to be very interesting was the level of political engagement by students. When I was in high school, there were people who were outspoken about their political views. They were anti-Bush, anti-war, but it was a few people. And the conversation wasn't so much about policy. I find that high school students tend to pay attention to celebrity news a little bit more and not so much politics. And I feel like this campaign and this election was really kind of a marriage of the two.
And really a lot of difference, too, between almost the generations is the amount of social media that is out there that connects them in a different way than perhaps even you had at your time.
Right. I think that even the people when I went to high school who were more engaged politically, I still don't think that they followed the day-to-day as much as the students do these days.
One of the students at Amherst Central High School, Kelsey Dukes, who you heard earlier in the show, did a terrific job of covering a wide range of topics in her student journals, especially on politics and President Trump.
Yeah, and you know, it was funny because she talked to a lot of students. She talked to people who were very anti-Trump, people who were pro-Trump, people who were on the fence about Trump. And a lot of, when she asked them what makes America great or what would make America great, a lot of their answers sounded the same. Let's take a listen.
What do you envision as a great America?
What I envision for like a great America is to actually help people like in Africa and stuff like that, because they're going through some stuff and they need a leader who's going to help and take care of us. And we are supposed to be that leader, but we can't even take care of ourselves. And I feel like in order to do that, we need to look around us, see what's going on, and change that for the better. And then we can actually help people more. So, like, we can't just go out there and just, like, help people. Like, we need to help and fix what was wrong with us racism-wise, economy-wise. Like, we really need to fix ourselves before we try to fix others. And then hopefully we are better than that, and then we are able to help others.
What do you envision as a great America?
A great America would be one where your rights are respected, no matter race or gender or sexuality or whatever it is.
How would you describe a great America?
I think a country that can work together, everybody can come together and work together. Definitely America with what's going on. Like, we're a country of immigrants, and now people are so scared of people who don't look like them that, like, America isn't great at all, you know? People, if we can't work together and embrace our differences, then I don't think we'll work well as a country at all.
How would you describe a great country, or what do you envision as a great America?
I would say peace and unity with a lot of people, everybody from different cultures and background and color and race would come together and not have any negative opinions about anybody.
So how would you describe a great country, or what do you envision as a great America?
I think a great country is run by a democracy. I think a great country does not have like a dictator of any kind. I think that a great country is capitalist and has a free market. I think that a great country gives everyone an opportunity to succeed and rewards those who work hard to get what they would like to achieve.
What do you envision as a great America?
I think as a great America for me would be the whole country to accept diversity.
How would you describe a great country, or what do you envision as a great America?
I feel like a great American society would be everyone being able to tolerate one another, not worrying about what someone's sexual preference is or what someone's religion is, and just trying to improve our country as a whole, economically, socially, and politically.
You know, one of the students that Kelsey Dukes interviewed, Charlita Cooper, she made some interesting comments in her student journals about how this is the most divided she's ever seen the country, and she knows families that were torn apart and people who aren't friends, you know, who were friends before the campaign and then the election, who are not friends anymore. I think what you kind of hear from this clip is this sense of almost urgency that people need to work together and unify. And, you know, it may have been a rough campaign, but people really want to see people work together and get along.
You know, the other group that started us off on the Trump topic was early on when we did a cafeteria chats at the Niagara Falls High School.
Sure. And I mean, that was shortly after the election. And, you know, our questions were not necessarily, you know, what do you think about Trump? Or they were not necessarily, you know, geared in that direction, but it's all they wanted to talk about. And, you know, some students kind of rolled their eyes and said, it's all we talk about. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. So maybe that's died down since then. But it seems like, you know, according to those students, it was a topic that just dominated hallway conversations. And that's something I don't ever remember from high school.
Johnny, thank you so much, because you did a lot of logistics on the student journals and the cafeteria chats. Thank you for helping us make this a success.
Thank you.
Education reporting on WBFO, funded by American Graduate, Let's Make It Happen, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. As we close out our program, we bring you one more student musical selection. The Buffalo Academy of Visual and Performing Arts students were featured back in January at the State of the State Address at UB. As we ended with a discussion around politics, we bring you their version of the national anthem. I'm Eileen Buckley. Thank you for joining us for this special program, The Education Experience, on WBFO.
So proudly we stripes and bright stars.